Well, I do love a good game of hide and seek. I remember playing in Ecuador in our house. We rented this house. Corinne's already laughing. We rented this house in our second term in Ecuador, and it was a huge house. We had anyway. It was very big, and it had all these rabbit warrens all through it. But I found this spot playing hide and seek in one of the kitchen cupboards, and it was the kitchen cupboard that in Ecuador where it was the corner cupboard. But it didn't have one of those fancy hinges that, you know, you can get into the, access the corner cupboard. It was actually, you know, a door for that way and a door for that way. And there was just this void in the corner that you just couldn't get to. And it was just a useless spot. And so I had to, you know, take everything off the bottom shelf, crawl through the shelf and pull myself into this void and then put everything back on the shelf so that it looked like no one had done anything. And the kids started to find me and, well, the kids started to find each other, and then they were looking everywhere through the house. I don't know how long it went for, but it went for a long time. The cupboards were open numerous times, kids looking in. He's not there, not there. You know, that happened multiple times. And eventually someone found me, but it was a great spot. We're all excited. But I think about that and I think, oh man, you know, I was in there for so long, so squashed up. But I was clearly visible to God. I was clearly visible to God. That's what we're talking about today. The omnipresence of God. The fact that God is everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. God is there. Now, some Aussies like to dream of getting away from it all, don't they? They escape the rat race, getting away from long commutes, the demanding jobs, the high cost of living, getting away from all these things that put pressure on us. And as we try and get away from it all, what we need to realise is that no matter how far you go, well, God is there. God is there. Now, we continue today now in our series that I've called our holiday series for the year, Future Proof. And the background to this series is that the more we know about God, it helps us to live with all the different pressures that come to us. So as you know, as we know more and more about God, as we learn more, that helps us as pressure comes in from the outside. Now this week this week and next week, we're going to look at Psalm 139. We looked at the first part of Psalm 139 in our last holiday. This time we're going to look at the middle section. And we're looking at the omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere. And it's with that background of God being everywhere that we can face a future knowing that no matter where we go, well, God is there. We may hide from people, we may try and hide from our jobs, but everywhere we go, God is there. So it'd be good to have a Bible open at Psalm 139. And I'll show you, as you look at that psalm as a whole, you'll see that it's actually divided into four different sections. The first three are the sections that we're preaching on, and then section four is this application section. And we're looking at that second section in there today. The first section is about an all-knowing God. Second section is about an all-present God. And then the third section is a can-do anything God. And the theological words that we use for those are that he is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, meaning all. Omni meaning all, and then or completely, and then each of them represent different aspects of God. And so we're looking at the omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere. And knowing that God is everywhere helps us when we realise that whatever's going on for us, we're never alone. He's always with us. It's a great song, that one, isn't it? He will hold me fast. Always, God is always with us. He knows all our thoughts and actions. And it should bring us great comfort, shouldn't it? Now, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at the passage. We're going to look at Psalm 139, and we're going to look particularly at verses 7 to 12. We read the whole passage, but we're just going to look at those verses today. So what does the psalm say? Well, look at verse 7, because it's here that the psalmist asks two questions. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" Now, these are rhetorical questions, but the answer is clear. Where can I go from your spirit? Well, nowhere. Where can I go flee from your presence? Nowhere. That's the expected answer, isn't it? That God is everywhere. Therefore, where can I go from you? Nowhere. God is always present. And as we look at the rest of these verses for today, they expand on where God is present. If you look at verses 8, you see that he is both up and down. If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Now, here we can understand a few things. Yes, it is up and down. In the first part of the verse, it talks about heaven. It could be, or the heavens. It could be the skies. It could be talking about eternal life. Similar word usage there. Where is God? Well, he's there. There's no part of the sky or the future where God is not present. The second part of the verse, however, talks about God being present in the depths, making your bed in the depths. This is down. Now, it could be the depths could refer to the earth. It sometimes is used of hell. And then I was a little challenged this week. I thought, I've always thought that hell is the absence of God, and Thessalonians speaks about the absence of God. But here it says that God is found in the depths. If you know Hebrew, it's the word Sheol, which can refer to hell. But then in Revelation, it also talks about it's like the psalm. It says that suffering in hell will be in the presence of the Lamb. So there is this idea that, well, God is there, he's present there, and maybe it's actually that his favour is not there. As I was doing some I think I'm going to get lost here, but anyway, that's okay. We'll see where we go. As I was looking at this, it seemed like as we are in relationship with God, we're in relationship with him now, and he is present everywhere around us. When we go to heaven forever, we are in perfect relationship with God and he is present everywhere. But it seems like somehow hell is this presence of God with this absence of relationship. He's not in relationship with those people, but he's certainly there, as Revelation says. The presence of the Lamb will be there to deal out punishment. That's what that passage refers to. I think about this contrast between heaven and hell. And heaven is this place of blessing and wholeness, not through being spatially close to God, but by being in complete fellowship with God. That's what we see in Revelation 22. Heaven is this wonderful expression of the relationship we have with God, but hell, on the other hand, is associated with a lack of blessing, a severing of any fellowship with God, and that's what we see in Revelation 14. Hell is this absence of favour or relationship with God. But he's present. His favour is not present. He's there, but there's no fellowship with him. Now, that's a bit of extra, but I think the idea is that if you go up into heaven, skies up, God is there. You go down to the depths, God is there. We're talking about extremes of places where God is present. And here we see the upper limits and the lower limits. God is there. Now, I've had to go to some other passages for all of this. There's not a lot here, so if you want to know more about that, then come and see me afterwards or grab a copy of the sermon as you leave today. There's some references in there that might help. The next verse tells us another extreme. It says to us that God is present in the east and the west. It doesn't actually say east and west, though, I realise. Verse 9, it says, "If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea..." It doesn't say east and west, but that's the idea. The dawn is in the east, and the idea of the far side of the sea in the west. Well, the sun comes up in the east, we know that. That's the dawn, and the sea, which is on the west side of Israel, is in the west. And the psalm is saying to us that God is everywhere, both east and west, as far as you can go. And then verse 10 is connected to this, and it's a reminder that God is in the east and west, and while he's there, he will guide and hold him fast. It's about God being active in his presence. If the psalmist is to go east or west, God is there, he's holding on, he's guiding him. I don't know if you've ever walked with a blind person holding on to your arm, but as they hang on to your arm, you just walk. I think the first time I ever tried, I tried to not move my arm too much. And they're like, no, just walk normally. Just walk normally, because you're a guide to them. They're holding on fast, and you're a guide to them, and they will always keep in step with you. They'll know the stairs that you're getting to. They'll know when you move left and right. And this is God for us. He's always there, guiding us in every step. What we see here is that God is found in the extremes of the east and west. And as you go to those extremes, God is there. He's holding fast. You can't reach the limit of God as you go east and west. God is already there. And then the next part we see, we've seen that God is up and down. We've seen east and west, I should get that right, east and west. And so now we move to the last few verses, and it's like the psalmist thinks, well, I know we can see him in the light, up and down and east and west, but what about the darkness? What about in the dark? Can he see us in the dark? Surely that's a place we can hide. And so many people today think that they can do things in the dark, hiding away. That's his question in verse 11, and he says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. And the response, not a question, but the response here is in verse 12, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. In other words, the vision that God has to see in the day, or God has vision to see in the day and the night. Not even the darkness can hide you from God. Now, of course, we might think, well, yeah, of course, maybe he's got this torch, That's what we do in the night, don't we? I see him walking around Wurrunga all the time. I think because of all the trees, no one can see the footpath. They walk around with torches at night to see where they're going. But that's not what's going on here, is it? It's saying when things are totally black, we can't see a thing, God is there and can see you. It's foolish to think that God can't see you in the night. That's the point of these verses. C.S. Lewis was spot on when he wrote this. We may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito. We may not see him, but he's there. It may be dark, yet God can see. That's a great psalm, isn't it? Great section of this psalm, Psalm 139. And these verses really do give us a sense of who our great God is, being all present everywhere at all times. And it's something to be amazed at, isn't it? And as we look at this, we're reminded that God is spirit. He's not limited physically like we are. The Bible talks about this, but as we think about God, we often come in with our human ideas and think, well, how can he be everywhere at once? And the answer is because God is spirit. That's why he's able to be everywhere at once. And as we think about the psalm, we now come to the last few verses to help us apply it. We're looking at 19 to 24, and especially 19 to 22. We saw this last time. It all sounds so dire, doesn't it? But like I told you when we first looked at this section together, this is a response from someone who understands the greatness of God. That's who wrote this psalm. It's not written by someone who hasn't understood who God is, but it's someone who's understood the greatness of God and responds, why can't everyone else see what I can see? And this is what we need to keep in mind as we look at verses like these. David writes in this way because he's understood who God is. He knows that the right response to living, to submit to the living Lord, not respond rightly to God like a wicked person, a person with evil intent. they're dishonoring God and who he is. It's like they haven't seen his greatness. And as we look at this, we need to understand David's passion for right worship. To ignore this omnipresent God is outrageous. To fail to listen to an omnipresent God is ridiculous. So you can't look at the God we're seeing today and realize that he is present both up and down, east and west, night or day. God is there and intimately there. And then you can't understand that and then walk away and as if he's not God, and believe that you can somehow leave his presence. The Bible doesn't describe us being able to leave God's presence. It describes that everywhere we are, anywhere we go, God is there. So what's the right response to knowing that God is ever present? Well, David calls out to God in verses 23 and 24 and says, "Search me and know me. See if there's any offensive way in me." And I think there's a few things we can think about our response to this passage. And I think each of them helps us as we think about our future and potentially our future filled with difficulty or crisis or even persecution. So let me just outline a few areas of comfort as we think about God being everywhere. And the first area of comfort is that we are never alone. Now, even though when I first heard this myself, I went straight to the negative of being with God all the time. But the positive of news of God being with us everywhere is a wonderful truth. Many of you have experienced times when we've felt alone. I've had moments in ministry life where I've felt alone. You feel like you're working hard for one reason or another, you feel as though you're just on your own. There was a sense of being alone when we moved back to Australia at the very beginning. When we moved here, it was the same. We didn't know people. We didn't have the social connections we had before, and so you can feel alone. But I think you can feel alone in many different ways as you deal with life transitions. Other factors like low self-esteem, they all contribute to us feeling alone. And the reminder we have here in this psalm is that in the middle of feeling completely and utterly alone, well, God is with you. God is always there with you. He's always there. Even when it feels like he must be far away, he is ever present, holding fast, as that song says. You're never alone. That's the first ever area of comfort. The second area of comfort from God being everywhere is that we have this constant care and protection. He knows our current circumstances. He knows what's going on. He's right there with us. We learned about that when we looked at the psalm the first time. He knows everything about us. But it's also the case that with increased globalization, so many of us have family far away. And knowing that they too are not out of his presence is comforting and reassuring. The same God that is with you and me right now is with our family in the US. He's with our friends in Ecuador and our friends in the UK. He's with them present right now. That's what Jesus said to the disciples before he ascended into heaven in Matthew 28:20, the last verse of Matthew. He said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Not just then, not just in Israel, but with them always to the very end of the age. Always with them. I imagine that for the disciples this would have been a great comfort, especially because many of them were persecuted for their faith and being reassured that Jesus was going to be always with them. Now, it's comforting because we can speak to God any time and we know he's there. We can ask him for help as we go into stressful situations and he's going to be there. We can even ask for him to be with people in other countries and their situations, and we know that God is going to be there. It's a great comfort to know that God is everywhere. And the next area of comfort is more an encouragement to live wholeheartedly for Jesus. Now, this comes from the idea that because God is everywhere, Maybe you should think about how you're living because, well, he's always there. This is probably more my negative side of things. I think there's no greater encouragement to live well than knowing that someone's looking over your shoulder, is there? You know, a thief rarely tries to steal when someone is watching. If someone is watching, they walk away, won't they? They won't steal it. They don't want to get caught doing the wrong thing. Think about speeding down the freeway. Now, of course, none of you speed. You're all great. I think you're all amazing. But if someone were to happen to speed, you start looking around, don't you? You look in the bushes. Is there a police here? Do I need to be careful? Make sure that no one is around so you don't get caught. Now, there's no greater motivation to do the right thing than to know that someone is watching. If you see a police car, you slow down, don't you? Now, as we live life as followers of Jesus, we want to care for those around us. And as we do, we want to show grace and mercy to those around us because, well, we know that God is with us. And I think knowing that gives us the motivation we need to do the right thing. Now, of course, many of us are going to fail. Many of us are going to fail to follow God's ways. We're constantly messing things up, aren't we? And this is where we need to think a little bit differently about God's presence with us. Because I think it's in those moments that we turn to the grace of God. When we're going down the wrong track, we need to know that God's there to help us stop what we're doing and give us the strength to change our way. See, it's in those moments that I'm reminded that Jesus died for me and has shown me grace. It reminds me to cry out to God and ask him for help. Help me show grace in this situation I'm in right now. It's the reminder, that ever-present reality that God is with me helps me to know that I can turn to him when I'm struggling to be gracious with those around me. I'll remind myself that even while I was God's enemy, Jesus loved me. It's a truth I hang on to. And so now, even with my poor intentions, God is there helping me to stop what I'm doing through his strength. So I think God being everywhere is a great motivator to rest in him. And knowing God is everywhere is an encouragement to live wholeheartedly for him. And as followers of Jesus, this is a great comfort because we know that trusting Jesus leads to eternal life with him. We're with him now, we'll be with him forever. And at that time, and I think that time starts with him now. But if you're not following Jesus, I want to remind you to turn to the one who is everywhere. Turn to Jesus who is everywhere, the omnipresent God, as we've been talking about. He wants you to recognize him, trust him, and know that he's right there with you all the time. So turn to Jesus and trust in his sacrifice for you. Give your life to him and know that he'll always be with you and he'll always be on your side. Now, I think this is how we best prepare for the future, don't we? To know our great God, to know that he's everywhere, and to know that he will give us the strength to live for him. So trust him. Know that he's always with you. And as we sang before, remind yourself that he will hold you fast. Well, let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks that you are always with us. You are a God who loves us and cares for us and has shown us mercy. We pray that we may comprehend your greatness and turn to your Son in repentance and faith. Lord, we've been reminded that you are everywhere. Up, down, east, west, night and day. May that be a source of great and comfort for us. May we rest on you more, knowing that you're always with us. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.